Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage Level 3. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates in the late night hours. I am Morenci. It's the Monday Night Meltdown. We're not done yet. Rick Saratella is going to join us from the NFL Draft a Bible. And we'll talk, obviously, NFL football. A lot of stuff going on in the National Football League, despite the fact that it's March Madness. The draft is rapidly approaching. We're actually, technically, I think we're 30 days away from the National Football League draft, depending on where you are right now. We do have a lot of affiliates in different time zones. But with that being stated, the countdown is on, and we saw the general managers didn't want to wait. You know, they're not waiting till the week of the draft. There's a big-time shuffle going on right now, and I'm not sure we're even done yet. I'm not sure we're done, because there's a few quarterbacks on the board that are going to be there still, right? I mean, we know, Urban Meyer and the Jags, they're not sure yet. They're going in the direction, they say, the direction of Trevor Lawrence. So, listen, we know that Trevor Lawrence is going first overall. Zach Wilson, I like him, but I think that the legend of Zach Wilson's being overblown a bit. But it looks like he's going number two. I don't believe that San Francisco made all these moves and traded up to get Mac Jones. I don't think they made all those moves to trade up to get Justin Fields either. So I think it's Trey Lance. And especially they said, Jimmy's our guy, but we're going to draft a young quarterback. So Trey Lance isn't ready to step on an NFL field yet, right? So I think Trey Lance is going to be the third pick. And then, so basically, I think if you're Carolina, you probably will be able to get a quarterback, Justin Fields or a Mac Jones. But we'll break that down with Rick Saratella. We'll also get into this Michigan and UCLA matchup, USC and Gonzaga. We do have line movement in the Michigan-UCLA game. Michigan were briefly 7.5 when they opened up, and then it settled in at 7. Now it's settled in at 6.5. Little Bruin money. So the Michigan Wolverines have been on fire in this tournament. One win away from the Final Four. The Pac-12 covers another point spread tonight. Andy Enfield, 10-0 against the spread in his career. He's getting 9 against Gonzaga. Paul Bovey was with us earlier. He said he likes the Trojans. I have to disagree. I'm not betting against Gonzaga. Bring it.
Sports gaming insights and expert analysis on daily sporting events.
Information you can take to the bank.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Everybody's got an opinion. Go ahead.
Ask them.
But only a few have an opinion informed by expert analysis and experience. It's called trust.
It's why we're here.
For you. Keep it here and get the edge. You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Sports Grid Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio. Sirius XM Channel 204.
You stupid horse! I got my last $10 on you! No! Don't look at me! Run! No! Don't come over here! Boy.
You think you know what you don't? Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabriel Morenci. Rick Saratella will join us. We're going to talk some NFL football. Is it too early to start taking a look at next year's draft if you don't want to take a quarterback this year? As it is right now, the top prospect at the quarterback position for next year, Sam Howell, quarterback, North Carolina. Very good quarterback, actually. Good quarterback. That's what I'm saying, man. So, look, Sam Howell threw 38 touchdowns last year, which was a Division I record for a freshman. All right, so he is only 6'1". He weighs 225, so you can't say he's small. The 225 is good. The 6'1", you're not in love with. But this guy also is pretty mobile as well. real playmaker, as anyone to watch North Carolina can attest to. And, you know, it's one of these deals where it's amazing to me. It's almost like these NFL GMs act like fantasy football players, right? You know, like nobody takes a quarterback until everybody takes a quarterback, right? Like, you don't build a franchise on what other teams are doing. You build your franchise because you have a vision and you have a plan. But you see these teams, they either, oh, look, everyone's taking a quarterback, so we better take a quarterback. It's like, wow, do you really like this guy? Well, I don't know. We don't love him, but... And every year, it's the same thing. Every year, it's the same thing. Every year. That during the season, all the experts are going to say that there's no good real quarterbacks. There's only a couple of good guys. And then whenever the draft approaches, every year, these GMs go crazy for these guys. And then they're not even with the team 2 years later, right? They're not even with the team a year later sometimes in their top 10 picks nowadays, right? Like, these GMs are clueless. Like, so that's the thing. Like, don't kid yourself and think just because a lot of these GMs like these guys that much and are going to draft them that high, that it means that these guys are actually that good. It just means that these GMs are stupid. That's what it means. Now, I don't know. You know, listen, I like Justin Fields. If Justin Fields falls to Carolina, I think they'd be glad to get him. I like Justin Fields. I don't understand the Justin Fields slippage, so to speak. All the kid did was, like, light up Clemson. Wasn't his fault against Alabama. They were in over their heads. It is what it is. But he's been an incredibly consistent player through his life. He had a little up and down at Ohio State, but you look at Justin Fields and, you know, you look in high school, what he accomplished. He was right there 1-2 with Trevor Lawrence in high school in Georgia. And then, look, he was right there in college, beats Trevor Lawrence. It's funny, like, I don't know, the Justin Fields stuff. It's amazing, though, with the draft about how nothing has changed since these kids played their last game. You know what I'm saying? Like, Justin Fields didn't get worse suddenly, but somehow he has. And Zach Wilson lost to Coastal Carolina, but somehow now is the greatest thing since Joe Montana. And, you know, is going to, you know, is the new Mahomes, so to speak. So, you know, hey, it is what it is. You know, I'm telling you what, I think the Jets are making a big mistake. I think the Jets should trade the pick. If you're the New York Jets, Zach Wilson's not saving your ass, really? Is this what you're doing? You've seen what people are willing to trade. You've seen what people are willing to trade to move up. I don't get it. You know, I don't get it. And then you got the Deshaun Watson stuff out there. Deshaun Watson now has more lawsuits than Harvey Weinstein does. All right? There's more accusations than, like, Harvey and Jeffrey put together at this point in time against Deshaun, but... whatever. It seems to me like they're all kind of a, you know, and I want to get into the basketball. I want to get Matthias's take on the Michigan game, but I saw the Deshaun Watson story. And I, you know, if you guys notice, I haven't given it any real, you know what I mean, coverage here. And I don't really want to. I haven't. And, you know, I don't want to discount real victims and stuff, but I'm just not buying this Deshaun Watson stuff. That whatever, this kid's the greatest kid in the world for, like, the last, you know, his entire life. but now suddenly he's facing 19 lawsuits, like, out of the blue like this. And, oh, yeah, by the way, the attorney for most of these plaintiffs happens to be the neighbor of the owner of the Houston Texans, who Deshaun is in a battle with. You know, I don't know. There seems to be, there was one in which they said, well, he didn't touch anybody, and he didn't touch anybody or expose himself to anybody, yet he still made someone feel uncomfortable. Like, yeah, you know, I don't know. So listen, it is what it is. I don't really want to comment on stuff I don't know about. When facts come out, I guess we can comment on this. But it seems to me that they've sort of done a hit job on Deshaun, so people won't want to trade for him, right? And then they'll just welcome him back and act like they're doing him a favor, considering the black cloud that they created. I don't know. Like I said, people have already thought Houston were a shady operation to begin with. So that's why I say this, like that they're not a team that's like trusted by players. And this is why Deshaun wanted out before this. And here they are now. But nevertheless, Rick Saratella will join us in a couple of minutes. I'm getting NFL fever here. Look forward to FanDuel posting more props. So, all right, Matias. So we got USC and Gonzaga is 9, but you're a Michigan fan. UCLA are now getting 6.5. It's come down a little bit. I said last night, I think Michigan are going to win, you know, by about 9 or so. And I stick by that. I think it's going to be a little bit higher scoring than I predicted. I said 70-61. And I even said on Game Time Decisions a little bit higher scoring than that. You know, let's say 74-66 type thing. But I do think Michigan are going to win this game tomorrow. And I think Michigan are going to the Final Four, Matias. What are you doing with this game? Are you betting on Michigan minus the points?
Dude, I'm going all in on Michigan tomorrow. I think this is the best matchup Michigan has had, honestly, in the whole tournament. I like UCLA as a team, but unfortunately they're playing against a team that's just much bigger than they are. Hunter Dickinson and Austin Davis are going to have a good night tomorrow night. I think Brandon Johns is going to have a good night tomorrow night as long as he stays out of foul trouble. You know, we're talking about UCLA, their biggest player being at 6'9". You know, he's a pretty big 6'9 player, but at the same time, all these guys look small and they fear Hunter Dickinson when Hunter Dickinson is in front of them. And Hunter Dickinson has like this aura about him that he makes other players that think they're big, they look small then, and they feel small against Hunter Dickinson. We're going to see if UCLA stays out of foul trouble. The one area where I might have concern is Johnny Juzang and maybe Franz Wagner getting in foul trouble with Johnny Juzang, or Johnny Juzang getting in foul trouble against Wagner. You know, it's going to be one or the other, but that's going to be a great battle tomorrow night between Wagner and Johnny Juzang. I think Mike Smith had a massively favorable matchup against Campbell. You know, finally a guy who's about Mike Smith's size. So now we don't have to worry about Mike Smith being the smallest guy out there. So it looks like a great favorable matchup for Michigan. Let's just hope UCLA doesn't go 60% from the field and drain all these threes tomorrow night, because that's literally the only way I see Michigan losing tomorrow night is if UCLA just shoots the lights out and shoots their way to the Final Four, which is possible in March. But at the same time, I don't believe so. Michigan all the way.
Yeah, you know, Michigan have a size advantage, and that's something that's been underrated about them. When people talked about Isaiah Livers so much, and I specifically said, whatever, man. I said, Dickinson can carry these guys, and he has, but it hasn't just been him. UCLA are a dangerous team, though. I understand. I thought it. I told you guys last night, and I stand by it. I think the number opened up a little high. I think Michigan are going to win, but I think, like, both these games tonight, it's going to be a sweat job around the point spread. They're not going to smoke them like they did at FSU. Bring it.
You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network, doing our part to spread the winning edge nationwide. Get on the grid. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
So many sports, so many memories, so many players, so many teams, so many great matchups, so many possibilities.
Now, are you really going to pass all that up?
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
The Late Night Anger Management Class continues. This is Sports Rage. I am Gable Morenci. Let's break it down. Biblical style. NFL Draft Bibles. Rick Saratella steps up and in. Unfortunately, there's really not a lot going on in the National Football League right now. Like, nothing's really happened since the last time we spoke to Rick, besides the whole freaking draft board has been turned upside down. Rick Saratella steps up and then, what's going on, Rick?
Hey, 30 days away, Gabe, from the NFL draft, a little NFL draft midnight mass.
Well, I'll tell you what, 30 days away, and clearly general managers decided, you know, we can't wait. We're not going to wait. We expected a flurry of activity like this with all these quarterbacks and all these teams seeking these quarterbacks, and we thought teams would move up, but wow. We're still a month away here right now, Rick, and I expect there could still be some more deals. Who knows? Maybe somebody else, you know, gets crazy and says, you know what, let's trade up for the second pick right now. But, wow, what a crazy week in the National Football League.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The trade winds are swirling, and if it took three first-round picks to get up, you know, to number three, I'd like to see what the equity, you know, what it's going to cost you if you're the Carolina Panthers, for example, and want to move up from eight to number two. But, you know, I really think the 49ers did their due diligence here. If you're giving up three number one picks, you best believe they had a conversation with the Jets about the number two pick, right? You're giving up all that draft equity. You try to get as high as you can. I think they came away convinced with their conversation with the Jets that the Jets were pulling the trigger on Zach Wilson. And so they felt comfortable enough to know that, hey, either Trey Lance or Mac Jones, or maybe even Justin Fields, who knows, they're comfortable with their third or fourth best quarterback. You know, they're top. They must love three quarterbacks in this year's draft, but it's no doubt about it. I know for a fact it's going to be Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, and QB3 to be determined.
Yeah, QB3 to be determined. And San Francisco 49er fan is in a panic right now online. Mac Jones might have a lot of intangibles that NFL general managers like, Rick, but he doesn't have the intangibles that San Francisco 49er fans want right now. As you know, basically, is Mac Jones really going to be the third overall pick in the NFL draft? Is this how crazy things have gotten right now? And to add to the intrigue, guys, Shanahan and Lynch are going to Mac Jones's pro day as opposed to Justin Fields, which is both tomorrow. So they've decided. Now, we should note the assistant general manager of the San Francisco 49ers will be going to see Fields, and Shanahan knows Fields. So Shanahan already kind of knows who he is, but nevertheless, people, it's still something that people are going to discuss right now. And this is getting crazy, bro. I like Mac Jones, but you're a draft guy. Yeah, right. Isn't it all about like talent and about where you are on a big board? And there's no way in hell you can tell me this guy's the third best talent in an NFL draft, bro. You just can't justify that.
Well, it is a hard sell to the fan base to give up three first round picks for Mac Jones, right?
And
so, hey, I will tell you this.
And they called Gettleman. Sorry, Rick. And they called. We called Gettleman out in New York.
Yeah.
Poor bastard, and straightened up to 60. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, the media is a lot more laid back there in San Francisco. They're too busy sipping wine, if you know what I mean. let me say, hey.
I would be too.
So, you know, I will say this. You can have your choice of Mac Jones or Justin Fields at three. So the fact that Shanahan and Lynch are at the Mac Jones pro day over Justin Fields tells me that they prefer, like, listen, at the end of the day, it's about winning ball games. Like, we're not that caught up in ourselves that we're too busy to try to throw other people off. Like, no, I'll have my choice of Mac Jones or Justin Fields. It's clearly Mac Jones or Trey Lance. So I'm still thinking that it's Trey Lance here because, again, there's a guy with the upside that could really master a Kyle Shanahan's offense. Now, the theory or the logic with Mac Jones is like, hey, the 49ers are built to reload, not rebuild, because they were decimated by injuries more than any NFL organization. They were just in a Super Bowl 2 years ago. So, hey, Mac Jones would be the guy that could step in immediately. But to me, they went to the Super Bowl with Jimmy G. He's still got a no-trade clause for $25 million. You take Trey Lance for $5 million, $30 million. You're still making less than Kirk Cousins. So it's actually affordable. And so you have Garoppolo now as the stopgap until Lance is ready. And hey, if he's ready come training camp, like you saw with Wentz and Bradford, hey, the Eagles flipped Bradford for a first and a third, I think. So, you know, if it takes 8 games, 16 games, 20 games, I think Kyle Shanahan is just tired of playing, you know, Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson, Matthew Stafford, and he's stuck with Jimmy dumping down Garoppolo. He needs some situation going on. Otherwise, he's going to be looking for a job.
And you know what? When I saw the deal was made, my assumption was, as you just stated, Rick, that it's going to be Trey Lance. That Mac Jones is good, but he's not the type of guy that you're like, listen, we've got to trade up because someone else is going to take him good. And Justin Fields' stock seems to be dropping a little bit, even though I question why. I still like Justin Fields. But with that being stated, Lance is that guy with that cannon. And there's always, you know, they're always searching for the next fill-in-the-blank guy. And now it's the next Mahomes, right? Who's that next sort of Mahomes talent? And if you look at it from a talent standpoint, Lance is the kid, right? Lance is the guy that they say, look at the throws that this kid can make. He's raw, but he's the most talented one out of the group beside Lawrence. Would you agree with that? But we talk about it. I don't know, bro. The guy played one game this year. He played one game this year, and he's a one-year starter at North Dakota State.
That's what I mean. Like, if you watch that one North Dakota State game this year, it didn't look pretty. I mean, he put on about 15, 20 pounds. His balls were all over the place. Like, yes, he's a dual threat, and he can run with the ball very good. But, I mean, the guy's accuracy is really a lot to be desired there. Yes, can he make all the throws? Sure. We saw Carson Wentz, a North Dakota State quarterback that was a lot more polished and ready for the program. Yep. How's his career panned out? And
he was a better college quarterback at North Dakota State than this kid is. Exactly. Much more illustrious.
Much higher rate.
Starts, yeah. Championships. Exactly.
And then, you know, I look at, like, Justin Fields is out here. You know, it's not like, yeah, all I did was win the Big Ten championship, play against Clemson.
Clemson's defense got lit up, smashed, got shot up, played through immense pain against Alabama without like 13 of my teammates who were out with COVID and were injured. And the kid's getting like, it's unbelievable.
Well, I remember doing the show in season, and people were asking me, well, will Justin Fields take over the number one spot from Trevor Lawrence? And I was QB5.
Yeah. And I don't know about you, but I like Justin Fields. I think Justin Fields' game translates to the National Football League. Like, put it this way. Jalen Hurts, they just gave the keys to Jalen Hurts. Who's better, Justin Fields or Jalen Hurts? I think Justin Fields.
I would agree. And I actually have Fields going to my new mock draft this morning on NFLDraftBible.com. I have him go number 8 to Carolina. Like, hey, roll the dice. We might be getting an upgrade here in Teddy Bridgewater. Like, why not? For the record, because I'm not on the Mac Jones bandwagon, I have Mac Jones. It's funny to say sliding, right? Sliding to number 15. Like, what a joke. Mac Jones is going in the first round. But how about the New England Patriots at number 15? Why not?
Yeah, the New England Patriots are an interesting team. Now, listen, there's a lot to break down here. Now, how about as far as the Miami Dolphins were concerned, who these guys are just building a stockpile? They're like China in space. God knows what they've got going on up there. It's the same thing with the Miami Dolphins. Like, I can't even keep up, bro. Like, you know, 3 first-rounders, 6 first-rounders, this pick, that pick. Everything they do is just smart. They trade the pick with the Niners, and then they trade the pick with the Eagles. But this sends a message to all you Tua haters out there. The Tua is their guy for now, right now.
Jobs on the line. Chris Greer, Brian Flores. Like, this is it. You've committed now. Put the lotion in the basket. Like, it's all in on Tua, right? Because otherwise, you're adding 4 picks in the top 50 now this year to me on a team that, if you started Ryan Fitzpatrick the entire year, was a playoff team. So now you inject – when you pick guys in the top 50, those are projected starters. They have 4 picks in the top 50. So you inject that now into their free agent hall. And what is this, year 3, year 4 of the Greer and Flores, you know, kind of era? Miami now, it's make it or break it time. And you look at that division, New England now is on the bottom looking up, because to me, Buffalo bringing in Emmanuel Sanders, they get Kaywan Short back now at the defensive line position next to Ed Oliver. Like, to me, Buffalo and Miami are the front runners. I do like what Joe Douglas did in free agency. They're going to have a new quarterback, it looks like. New England is, quite honestly, they might be on the bottom looking up.
As far as, you know, we've got about a minute before we go to a break here, but we'll continue the conversation on the other side with Rick. So there's so much focus in on all the top quarterbacks here, the top 4 with Lawrence, Lance, Wilson, and Fields, etc. Who's that fifth guy we're not talking about that maybe San Francisco looks at? Is it the kid out of Florida? Is it a Kyle Trask?
I think Kellen Mond from Texas A&M is the guy, actually, that people aren't really aware about on the mainstream media, but has a lot of love within the NFL scouting community. He beat LSU. I think he beat Florida. So Kellen Mond is a guy where you look at kind of Lamar Jackson type of tendencies. Him and Davis Mills out of Stanford, I think, are those day two gems, maybe that Dak Prescott kind of find on day two.
Remember, we talked about it after the Senior Bowl. Kellen Mond was the MVP in the Super Bowl. The last two MVPs that were quarterbacks, Daniel Jones and Justin Herbert.
I wouldn't be shocked if he goes round one.
You know what? I wouldn't be shocked if anything happens at this point in time. Late Night Anger Management continues. Bring it.
Look, you have a simple choice. Keep listening and get the winning edge, or don't. And wish you had. We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Don't think of us as a place to just hear sports talk. Think of us more as an all-you-can-listen buffet of live odds, lines, matchups, injury reports, and news you can use.
Bon appetit.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network. You're listening to Sports Grid Late Night with Gabe Morenci on Sports Grid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 204.
Sports Late Night continues. Sirius XM Channel 204. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates. I am Gabe Morenci. We'll kick it out on the Sports Grid Radio Networks. Rick Saratella, NFL Draft Bible, joining us. And, of course, the NFL Draft Bible crew working in conjunction with SI.com. Great stuff and information to prepare you for the upcoming National Football League Draft. And just as this tournament has been the craziest tournament ever, this draft is already getting funky, man, and we're still a month away right now. So the Miami Dolphins just, you know, keep pulling the trigger on these deals. Reminds me of what Danny Ainge was doing years ago in Boston. He stockpiled draft picks, and everybody was envious, but the chemistry never really worked out. So as you stated, Miami are knocking on the door right now. They're a dangerous football team. They fall to six, and well, they fell to 12, but then they swung the 12 pick with the Philadelphia Eagles. What does it look like for the Miami Dolphins? Because the Dolphins were thinking, hey, listen, we're not drafting a quarterback, right? We're not drafting a quarterback, and it appears that everybody else is. So if we get the 6th pick, we'll still be able to take one of these skill position players that we want. And it's funny to me, too, that Penei Sewell was the guy that everybody was freaking out about earlier. And now suddenly it looks like he could be available at the 5 spot.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's where the draft really gets interesting, because not only at number 4 with Atlanta, like, hey, do you take the 4th best quarterback or the best player available? But then at number 5, like, I think Atlanta could either pull the trigger on a Justin Fields or trade back. But regardless, if a quarterback's go, and I think 1999 was the first time you had 3 quarterbacks, McNabb, Akili Smith, I want to say Cade McNown, but that was the last time you had 3 quarterbacks, 1, 2, and 3. Never has there been 4 quarterbacks in the first 4 picks. And the last
Which
time
could you happen. Had, Fields could go happen. To Atlanta.
And the Wilson other thing that could
Jets,
happen.
Lawrence, Wilson, Lance to the 49ers, Justin Fields to the Atlanta Falcons. And Fields is from Atlanta, guys.
And in that same draft, offensive players were taking, I believe, with the first 7 picks, which is the only time I could find in NFL draft history. There's a very good chance that could happen again. And I think the Dolphins, who are now at 6, could go Micah Parsons. But Micah Parsons, we talked about this a couple months back. He could do the slip and slide with some of the off-the-field shenanigans. But you got to say, Cincinnati at 5 now, like, wow. My head tells me Penei Sewell. My heart tells me Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, how the thought of reuniting Joe Burrow with Ja'Marr Chase, I'd hate to say it, it would actually be an upgrade over A.J. Green. These guys connected on 15 touchdown passes of 40 yards or more 2 years ago when Ja'Marr Chase was just 19 years old. Imagine what they can do at the next level. Wow.
No, you're exactly right. And if you're Joe Burrow and the Bengals, what a tough choice it is. And I guess yes and no, because, you know, Burrow's going to want to reunite with his buddy. And you know, really, you can argue that Chase made Burrow a lot of money with some of those catches he made. There were a lot of 50-50 balls that Burrow threw up there. All right. But at the same point in time, Burrow also knows I'm getting killed back here. And we have, like, maybe the best offensive lineman prospect coming into the league in, you know, I don't know, what, the last 5 years, whatever. He's big time, this guy, right? So, and let me ask you, if you're the Miami Dolphins, they have shown patience. And they do have so many picks. If Sewell's there for the Dolphins, they might think, holy crap, man, this will really help Tua, too.
Well, and at that point, too, like, you might still be able to trade down again and stockpile picks if you really wanted to, right? Because, like, wouldn't the Giants love to have a guy like Penei Sewell and move up from 11 to 6? Because
that's what they're missing now, the Giants. You're right. That they need that stud lineman.
And the second or the third and the fourth pick, you know, all these picks that have been traded, like, I still think the fourth pick can get moved, the fifth pick could get moved, the sixth pick. Like, you could have a trade on almost every single pick because there's so many young GMs. If you look around the league, these guys now wheeling. Remember when the NFL trade deadline used to come and go? You didn't hear a peep out of it. Now you got these young guys willing to wheel and deal. I think you're going to really see it here come draft day. There's going to be a lot of interesting scenarios. But again, I think the Dolphins with four picks inside the top 50, this is really a time to capitalize and take the next step.
Now, Rick Saratella, NFL Draft Bible, kicking with us. I'm Gabriel Morenci, SiriusXM Channel 204, Sports Grid Radio Networks. A lot of people are talking about Kyle Pitts being a generational talent at his position, a hybrid position at that, stud tight end, but has the speed of a wide receiver, hands of a wide receiver, knack to get open as well. You know, this kid just gets open. And looks like you're going to have some pretty good skill position players falling. The Detroit Lions sort of need a little bit of everything, but Jared Goff being put in a tough situation to begin with, yet are they, you know, do they go with a skill position player? Do they say, you know what, we got to get someone for Goff to throw the ball to? Or are they going to say, you know what, let's just let Goff get killed for a couple of years? And it is what it is. But what about the Detroit Lions now at 7? Best available player, or do you think they get a wide receiver for Goff?
Well, to your point about Pitts first, because I got to say, there's a possibility. If Atlanta stays at 4, Pitts could be that pick. And just like Antonio Gates, I think Kyle Pitts, I see Shannon Sharp, I see Kellen Winslow, like, he's that good, really. And TJ Hockenson, who the Lions just took, I think, a couple years ago, to me, he went 8 or 9 overall, and I think he's one of the better tight ends in the league. So, like, Kyle Pitts is even better than that guy. Right.
And so, like, there's nothing wrong with having two tight ends, right? I mean, people sort of, oh, well, they already have a tight end. So what? You have more than one wide receiver, you got more than one tight end. And especially Pitts, he's a hybrid.
Well, about a month or two ago, the Giants, from my conversations, were secretly hoping Kyle Pitts would fall to them at 11. And they wanted to pair Pitts with Evan Ingram. That was the dream scenario for the Giants. I got news for you. I mean, this guy, it's hard to envision him getting outside the top 5. But to answer your question, Detroit, you know, I did the mock this morning, and I wanted to go cornerback, right? But I felt like it might be a little bit too high with where the Lions are picking. So I gave them Devonta Smith, the wide receiver from Alabama, to your point. They just need weapons. And if Jared Goff is going to succeed, like, Hockenson's a nice dual threat. He can block. He can catch. You lost Marvin Jones, I think, in free agency. So, like, here you go. You lost Kenny Galladay, Devonta Smith. You could go Jalen Waddle, but to me, I'd rather have the boundary outside receiver than the slot guy picking at number 7. Hard to pick a slot receiver at number 7, but to your point, I think they have to take a weapon. And if Kyle Pitts slides, I think there's a serious conversation to be had inside the Lions war room.
I think there is as well. So, Kyle Pitts. And, you know, and I've talked about this in the past, guys. I don't believe, oh, you draft local just because a kid happens to be from the city. But when there's a combination of a kid being local and a star, and I'll just say, look, no one knew Gronkowski was going to be as good as he is, but it was pretty rough as a Bills fan watching Gronk terrorize his bro, being from Buffalo. And Gronk even said, yeah, I would have loved to have been a Bill. They didn't take me, right? Like, he put it out there. I'm the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Eagles drop back here. I get it. Are the Eagles just trying to stockpile talent? But it's like, guys, you could have got a pretty damn good player at six. And I hear the Eagles think, well, they could still get who they want or one of these skill position players at 12. I don't know. Kyle Pitts is from Philadelphia, right? He's a badass. He would have fit in perfectly. They fall down to 12. Did you like what the Eagles did, or did you think they should have stood pat?
You know, I'm looking at the mock that I put out, and I have them now taking Jalen Waddle at 12. So, yeah, you know, they could probably get Waddle or Smith at that pick. So if they do, hey, I mean, listen, if Jalen Hurts is going to succeed, he needs weapons, right? They lost Zach Ertz, but to your point, Kyle Pitts would have been the perfect replacement. And to me, for the record, I'm now a believer Kyle Pitts is the bigger playmaker over a Ja'Marr Chase. So I'm thinking now, Gabe, after the quarterbacks, if you want just the best player in this year's draft, to me, it's like Penei Sewell, Kyle Pitts, and then Ja'Marr Chase, maybe. Those three guys are so close. So close. But to bring a Philly guy in after you lose a Zach Ertz, to me, that would have been a logical situation. But I still think, and for the record, I don't have a skill position player being taken again until 21, which is Rashard Bateman, the wide receiver from Minnesota. So, but to me, I still think they get one of those playmakers, whether it's Jalen Waddle or Devonta Smith. I think it's going to be an Alabama wide receiver for the Alabama quarterback now in Philly.
Now, Carolina and Denver go 8 and 9, and it's no secret that both Carolina and Denver have both tried to upgrade at the quarterback position in the offseason. They were both not in the conversation, but inquiry, so to speak, about Matt Stafford and others when there's been quarterbacks dealt. Denver's not comfortable with Drew Locke, and Carolina likes Teddy Bridgewater. It's not, you know, but they also are a young football team, and Matt Rhule has to get his guy in place moving forward for the future. I think Fields is a perfect fit there. If Fields is there, I think they will pull the trigger. But you got Carolina and you got Denver, and what about Denver? Denver really were the most open about, yeah, we don't like our quarterback. And here they are. They're stuck with their quarterback.
Yeah, they're out on the outside looking in, right? Outside the bubble.
Right there at 9 is a little too far, isn't it? Like,
well, and I think this is where the Falcons, like, if they don't take a quarterback, right? Denver at 8, Carolina at 9 could be the guy. If they like Justin Fields that much, they could be one of the teams that trade up. In my mock draft scenario, I just had the Falcons staying pat, taking Kyle Pitts. I had the Bengals taking Ja'Marr Chase. The Dolphins taking Micah Parsons. We mentioned the Lions, Devonta Smith. To me, Justin Fields would be a no-brainer. Teddy Bridgewater struggled mightily down the stretch. He's only making $20 million this upcoming season. Why not roll the dice on a Justin Fields? And then, to me, like, Denver becomes one of the biggest winners because you can't upgrade the quarterback, right? The bad news is you're stuck with Drew Locke. The good news is Penei Sewell drops in your lap. Like, when I did my mock draft, I couldn't believe that Penei Sewell falls all the way to 9. But this scenario where the quarterbacks are coming off the board with the first 3 or 4 picks, you got the playmakers and Pitts and Chase, Smith, Devonta Smith, and then, you know, Micah Parsons, Jalen Waddle, Justin Fields. All of a sudden, Penei Sewell to number 9 at Denver. It was hard for me to
fathom. That's insane.
But there you go.
That's insane that, like, here we are right now, that Sewell could fall. And I was just thinking about the Dallas Cowboys at number 10. If for whatever reason things get crazy and Sewell is there, I don't see how the Cowboys don't take this guy. Like, you have to if you're the Cowboys. And their offensive line used to be known as how great it is. It's not anymore.
it fell apart real quickly there, and I know they have some reinforcements coming between the opt-outs and the injuries, but the pass rush has been such a problem too.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think if it's not, you know, if Penei Sewell, I mean, yeah, I mean, hey, who wouldn't want to have Penei Sewell at 10, which is hard to think, but it's a possibility. Otherwise, I think they go defensive end. And the secondary seems like, you know, defensive end and the secondary for Dallas seems to have been like an ongoing situation.
All right, Rick, we've got to get out of here, but we'll get into the defensive side of things next week. Rick Saratella, NFL Draft Bible. Follow him on Twitter. Follow the NFL Draft Bible crew. And, of course, check out SI.com for all the great content as well. Always a pleasure, my man. Thanks for taking the time to be with us.
Love the rage. Appreciate you, brother.
The Late Night Anger Management Class continues. Bring it.
Lost in a sea of stats, averages, and injury reports?
It's okay.
Breathe. You found it. Sports gaming strategies and info. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
How would you rather feel? Lost in a sea of stats, averages, and injury reports?
Just breathe, dude.
Or swimming in the warm waters of confidence that comes from having the winning edge?
We thought so.
We are the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Freeman at warning, level 3. Quickest 180 minutes in sports talk radio. Tonight, once again, no exception. Thanks to our guest for kicking it with us this evening, Rick Saratella, George Kurtz, and Paul Bovey. Paul Bovey said he likes the Orlando Magic getting the points tomorrow night against the Clippers, hoping that Kawhi Leonard will be out of that basketball game. Speaking of basketball games, we didn't get to this, but the call, or the non-call, I should say, in the Baylor-UConn women's game. And for the love of God, like, you know, I would have loved to watch that game. I would have watched that game. I don't know. Like, what time was it on at? Were you guys have it on at the same time as, like, the men's games? Why do they do stupid things like this? Why do they really, really do just shaft the women? They did the same thing with the WNBA. They had, like, a WNBA, like, playoff final game, whatever, head-to-head with an NBA playoff game. It's like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense, guys. Right? Like, it's really like the stupidity. But speaking of stupidity, the Baylor coach, what's her name? Kim Mulkey. She had a bad night tonight, man. All right? So before the game, she complained, or I should say it was after the game. She said that the NCAA should stop COVID testing for the Final Four and the men and the women, because it would be a shame if a player got tested positive and couldn't play. So they shouldn't test. At least I like her honesty. But thing is, she actually got COVID this year. So she even got COVID this year. She said that, yeah, you know, there shouldn't be COVID. She wants a COVID-19 testing eliminated for the Final Four. But during the press conference, man, she had like a mask meltdown. It's freaking gold. It's got like nearly 500,000 hits. Like, she's, the mask is sideways. She's getting really pissed off. She's mad about the game. The lady's melting down, and she's a funny looking woman to begin with, all right? She dresses like she's like, I don't know, 21. She's like this college basketball. She's wearing like sparkle boots and like, she's a piece of work. All right, speaking of which, I'm laying the points with Gonzaga, man. Love Gonzaga in the first half. Michigan are going to roll. Tune in to Game Time Decision 6. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.
To win,
you need a plan.
We're the home of sports gaming strategies and information to give you the winning edge. You're listening to the Sports Grid Radio Network.